The other night during a class I was teaching, I think it was Wednesday night, I was focusing on a comment from a poem that I remembered reading, and I mentioned it to everyone seated there, and I said, "Do you all remember that?" And nobody remembered it, and I thought, well, it wasn't one of my sermons. I understand why they don't remember them, but... And I was trying to think about how far back that was. Well, it was in the ancient days of my ministry, and I remember hearing it, and it may have been Mom, or I can't remember which one, said as she was reciting it. So I wrote it down, realizing that my penmanship is not the best. But I want to read this to you, because I want you to think about the focus of this poem and the hurt that is involved within it. When some fellow yields to temptation and breaks a conventional law, we look for no good in his makeup. But Lord, how we look for the flaw. No one asked who did the tempting, nor allows for the battles he's fought. His name becomes food for the jackals, the saints who have never been caught. I'm a sinner, O Lord, and I know it. I am weak and blunder and fail. I am tossed on life's stormy ocean, like a ship that is caught in a gale. I am willing to trust in thy mercy, to keep the commandments thou'st taught. But deliver me, Lord, from the judgment of the saints who have never been caught. Very easy to look at the faults of others. Here's a problem for us. The problem is, God is the creator. God is the judge. God is the ultimate hope for his creation, to the point that he sent his son so you and I could see him, so you and I would know that God knows the pain and the hurt that each one of us go through. No longer would God keep a distance, because his plan before time began was that we would be here today. And all that has happened throughout history should be taught as a lesson from the failures that we've witnessed, especially in the United States of America. But what you and I need to pay attention to is God's facts of life. Let's look at God's facts of life. Gosh, I didn't know what the facts of life were when people was talking about, you know, that's the facts of life. I have found out over the years there are no such thing as facts in our life. Did you know you're going to mess up? Did you know you messed up when you got up? Do you realize that you and I are wandering in a world, and we would be wandering aimlessly were it not for God's facts of life? God said, pay attention to me, Larry. Pay attention to me, those of you who desire to know the truth, and I will reveal my truth to you. I will touch your heart. I will touch your life. I will touch your family. I will touch those who know you. I'll touch those who despise you. I am your God. Recognize me and my facts. Well, as God directs us, God wanted to make it clear. And he says that he will not be mocked. You hear mocking today of Christianity? Mocking about those crazy people who believe there's a God? Not only do I believe there's a God, I know him. through his son. Well, I know his whole family. I know how I know, like any other Christian. For it is the touch of the Master's hand within us, who we really are, that real spirit that makes this body animated. It's a call to personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Forget the religion part. Forget the religion part. Focus on a personal relationship with the Son of God. And as he offers, he said, I want you to know, my Father sent me. As a matter of fact, he continued to tell him, not only did my Father send me, but I have not said one word that my Father did not tell me to say. Now, can any of us relate to that? Oh, our parents, yeah, we listened to every word of prayer said, and we never broke the rules, and we never... Well, see, that's the problem. We're so used to lying that we've made it part of our lifestyle. Oh, don't worry, we'll just lie our way out of it. The trouble with lies, they catch up. Well, God says, I'm not going to be mocked. If you think for a second, I don't know what's going on, you're wrong. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. I know it has, and I've called it this myself. It's the universal law of the living God. Whatever you're going to sow, that's exactly what you're going to reap. You go out in the field to sow corn, don't send your workers out there to gather the tomatoes or anything else. What you sow, that's what you're going to reap. The judgment that you place on others will return unto your own head. You and I need to focus on God's word and God's facts of life. For God says, I'm not going to be mocked. I'm in control. I'm in charge. There's no other God out there that will do what I have done and will continue to do in those who believe in me. God is a God of true freedom. When God sent his only begotten Son to go to that cross for you and me, God said, I'm giving you pure freedom. It's hard for us to understand that type of freedom. For God being sovereign, meaning there's no rules with God except God's rules, he is sovereign, no one above him. And God says to us, I'm going to love you and extend my love to you so you will understand my love. To the point, I'm going to send my son. He's going to die and take your guilt, take your punishment, going to conquer death for you. And I'm going to give you the freedom to either accept him or reject him. When you reject him, doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. That's why God has not called an end to everything yet. He's very patient. Well, I know personally the majority of this congregation, and more than likely, because I don't know a lot of other congregations, but I can tell you right now, 98% of our congregation is hard-headed. Now, I know it's hard for you to believe that we truly, as God's children, realize that we have the independent thought process. Well, I don't see it the way you see it. Gosh, folks, the majority of family trouble begins because one doesn't see life just like the other. You're not going to. There's only one personality that pulls us together. And his name is Jesus. He said, Here's what I want for you. I want you to believe in me. And when you believe I am who I've told you I am, then you will be where I am. I like that. But he said you have the freedom. You have the freedom, folks, to go to heaven, and you have the freedom to go to hell. You have the freedom to go ahead and get to feeling sorry for yourself, and the first thing you do when that happens, you quit God. I cannot believe that God would allow this to happen to me. God will use life to teach us, to train us, to bring us closer to Him. He will use disease. You've heard me say many times, I thank God for my cancer. I mean, wake-up calls need to be out there. I don't wish cancer on anybody. I don't wish Agent Orange poisoning on anyone. But I thank God for mine. And I don't know whether you all paid any attention, but I'm still here. I know who my God is. I'm excited about leaving this planet, folks. I cannot express to you the depth of my excitement about leaving this body. But I cannot be a coward and give in. I must stand and I must promote the gospel of Jesus Christ as long as He'll give me life in this body. I get to shout later. Actually, I get to shout now all the time. You want to watch something that is really, really exciting? Have the pastor shout and watch security. Isn't it sad that's the type of world we're living in? But God says, trust me. Don't trust in yourself. So that's fact number one. God's not going to be mocked. We really hurt ourselves, folks, when we don't accept the forgiveness that God offers us. We do a disservice to the gospel. It's not because we're so bad. It's because we are so hard-headed. We refuse to accept the forgiveness. Yeah, but I'm a Christian. I shouldn't have done that. What are you talking about? The Apostle Paul, every time he went in a church, here he is yelling at them. He said, the world doesn't act like you people act. Clean it up. You do know that the whole New Testament is written to the church, Christians. It is God's word to us to go out and take His word and grow His family. Fact number two, there are multiple gods in this world, but there is a God that our Heavenly Father has allowed to be in this world. What do you understand that, Larry? I understand God's God, and I understand also I will not question God's focus on this world, on you or me, because you know, God has our best interest at heart. How long has it been since you had any kind of peace? How many times you go to bed at night and it's like you're living a nightmare every night? Because of brokenness, because of cruelty, because of hurt, because of the pain of the spirit, and you don't know what to do. Lord, I can't sleep. So here, let me take something else. Let me take something else. Let me take something else. And we can keep taking till we knock ourselves out, but the next morning, everything's still there. God said, I will not be mocked. When I tell you to trust me, trust me. When I tell you to get in the boat, then stay in the boat. I'll tell you when to get out of it. Or I'll allow a storm that'll break it up and you'll swim out of it. But pay attention to me, says God. Not to the ranting and the raving of the religious. Not to those who want to judge everyone else except for themselves. I don't work for people. I work for God. And God calls each one of us to be about His business. If I'm going to profess to be a Christian, then I must first admit that I am weak. I'm overwhelmed. Half the time I don't even know what I'm doing. The other half I don't even know what I'm saying. That makes me fit in real well around here, doesn't it? That makes me fit in our community, doesn't it? You see, Christian, you and I are to present Christ, not to attempt to convince everybody how good we are. Because that's not Scripture. The Lord says there's another God at play here. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, now here's what's going on. Do you remember throughout Scripture whether Lord is saying to open your eyes, open your ears, where the Lord said, let he who hears hear what I'm saying? Here's what the problem was. But even if our gospel is veiled, meaning all these people out there were saying, I don't know what you're talking about, Paul, you are crazy. He was. He even called himself a fool for Christ. As far as the world looked at him, they saw nothing but a foolish old man talking about spiritual things. And God said, I sent you, did I not? I called you. But even if our gospel is veiled, listen to it, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Meaning the Lord said, you put my word out there. You don't make anybody do anything. Have you learned that? You're not going to make another human being straighten up and fly right. How can they straighten up and fly right when you're telling them how to fly? Simply because, my friends, each one of us are individuals. We are Christian individuals, and God calls us. And when God calls us, I guarantee you, the closer you attempt to walk with Christ, the more hell is going to come against you. Listen to verse 4. Whose minds, those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age. Jesus called Satan the God of this age. That was a name given to him by Christ. The God of this age has blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Paul saying, listen, church, you have the freedom to walk away. You have the freedom to listen to the voice of my Son, Jesus Christ. You have the freedom to choose. Don't choose poorly. You have the right to choose good or evil. Here's the sad focus, especially at Corinth. Too many sitting in the church pews did not know or have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, it was a going thing right then. Groups pop up here, groups pop up there. Well, let me tell you, folks, Jesus, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, that's the grouping that you and I need to be listening to. Wisdom comes from God. Foolishness comes from the God of this age, the God of this world. And Satan has crowned many individuals as little gods. You notice I put, when I was fixing this up, had their God as a small g. We got that, Jesse? The gods of this world. I cannot write anything any longer, and I don't care what they tell me about writing. I will not leave a pronoun representing Jesus Christ uncapitalized. I capitalize. If it says God, if it says Jesus, it's capitalized for me. And then people will say, why are you yelling at me? That was on text. I did not know that the uppercase meant you're yelling. God wasn't paying attention to that. Maybe I needed to be yelling. And I'm thinking, what are they so upset over? I wasn't yelling. I was making a point. Now I just do it all in caps. But God says, I want you to know there's a gods out there. Now you choose. Isn't that amazing? God gives us the story of our life. He gives us the story of our hope. And then what God says is, now, you choose. Well, Lord, make me do something. That's not the God we serve. God says, I offer you eternal peace, eternal joy. And you know what else he let us know? I also offer you a world that's going to hate you. The more you talk about me, they're wanting to put you on a cross. They're wanting to behead you. Oh, but never in the 21st century have you ever witnessed the slaughter of Christians like it is going on today? Why, I think Nero would blush. Think of it. The viciousness. Just because you profess Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, why didn't Jesus come down and protect them? Well, the Lord said, I took them out of this world because the world was not worthy to hear their message. Well, I thought that if it cut your head off, that means you lose. Folks, can you imagine? Can you imagine the shouting, the singing in heaven when all of those Christians throughout the world refusing to renounce Christ and lost their heads or were crucified? Can you imagine the supper time for them? The excitement? Oh, if the hope we have is only in this world, then we are hopeless, my friends. Fact number three. Now, Christians, catch this one, please. Christians will be victorious. You can't take my Christianity away from me, because my Christianity is a person. His name is Jesus. Why, even Satan doesn't mess with Jesus anymore. He knows better. So what will he do? He will mess with the family of God, those who belong to Christ, because he deals with human weakness. You and I need to focus our life on godly strength. Father, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to sit around here and moan and groan. Father, I'm going to, through your help, stand back up, and I'm going to go at it again and again and again and again. Because, my friends, I tell you this, you will be knocked down. And that beating will continue as long as you're within this body. And if you can't handle it, shame on you. But I hurt. Okay? Is that not what God says that you and I are to do about helping one another when one is hurting? That's what the church is supposed to be about. Not everybody getting together with all the woe is me people. Don't get together with the other people who are woe is me. You're going to have nothing but a pity party. I'm talking about being able to reach out to the hand of Almighty God, who he says, I'm always there for you. And saying, not only that, you can count it as though you're already victorious and you're already here with me. Now get about my business. The book, Revelation 12, verse 11. They overcame him, the God of this world. They, the church, Christian, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Not because you're good, not because of your works or even your good works. It is good to do good works. You know what's interesting about that? Haters of God do good works. to their families, and a lot of times to their communities. They do good works. It's good, Christian, to do good. But that doing good has nothing to do with your salvation. It's the blood that was shed on that cross. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What was the word of their testimony? I'm a Christian. I've accepted Jesus. Or you want to explain yourself? Don't have to. You go talk to Jesus. He sent me, obviously. And he sent me right in the middle of persecution. So something good about ready to happen. They did not love, and this is the honor to those throughout the rest of the world. Oh, we're broadcasting in 130-some countries. For those of you out there in those nations that are attempting upon your own strength to stand strong in the Christian faith, I am sorry and apologize that many of the Christians in America today are not lifting you up in prayer, but we do, and we will continue to. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Hey, you don't have to die if you'll convert. Well, if you will follow our dictates, whether it's Islamic or whatever it is, then we'll allow you to become a part of us. But if you do that, of course, you become our slave part to us. And we let you live. How in the world can an individual expect to live in any kind of peace without that peace that only Christ can bring? People want to tell you, this is what I do, this is what I would do if that comes about. I have no idea what I'd do. I don't. I'd like and hope to believe that I'd let them cut my head off rather than to convert or even say that to them. What are you going to do when the time comes and it's your great-grandchild or your child that they're ready to chop up and they're telling you that all you need to do is just do this and your child will live? Don't you dare tell me that you know exactly what you would do. If you've never been in combat, you haven't the slightest idea. And those of us who have been, we're smart enough to know we don't either. Do you know what we fall on? The mercy of Christ. I don't know what I'd say. Don't know how I'd react. I don't know whether the professing, trying to love pastor would act, and at what point the Marine Corps would come back out. I don't know that. But one thing I do know, and I know it to the depth of my heart, the only peace I have is through Christ, because it is the only true peace that is offered. And he said, whosoever will, let him come. Let's pray. Father, we lift our hearts to you. We lift our hurt to you. All the pain, all the brokenness of our condition as humans, we lift it all to you, Father. And as we give it to you, Father, we ask for your mercy. Protect our families, Lord. We lift each child within our church to you, Father. Protect the innocence of your innocent. Father, we are in a nation that no longer lifts an eye to you as a whole. We're in a nation that mocks your name, and those who serve you are afraid to stand up because of what the world will do. Protect each one, Father. But it's got to be through your strength, your wisdom, and your holy boldness that any of us will be able to stand. We ask that blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.